Hello there. It's James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Johnny Test,
Fred Flintstone,
and one of my personal favorites, Leonardo. And you are listening to Epic Tales from the Sewer. It's totally awesome. Turtle power. Go, go, go.
Party wagon and hold on to your pizza. The Last Ronin, The Lost Years, Issue 2. Writers, Kevin Eastman and Tom Waltz. Then, pencils by S.L. Gallant. Inks by Maria Keene. Now, pencils and inks by Ben Bishop. Splinter's Journal, Kevin Eastman. Colorist, Luis Antonio Delgado. Letters, Sean Lee. Town 38, Unified Korean Republic, then. We see Ronan smashing through a window with a bald-headed thug that has the death worm tattoo on the side. Shards of glass everywhere. He's got a broken bottle in his hand. He must be confronted. The story so far. Then, having lost his father and brothers in the war against the Foot, a defeated Michelangelo isolated himself away in the mountains of Japan. But the grieving hero's solace was interrupted when a warlord known as Deathworm wrought chaos in the quiet countryside, forcing the ninja to flee. But trouble seemed to have found him again. Now, Casey Marie Jones struggles with the challenge of raising a new generation of turtles as successors to the Hamato brothers and ninja heritage. Now, Odin drops a glass.
Oh no! I dropped my water! Sensei's gonna be so mad! 'Cause you're supposed to be mopping, Odin, not drinking, says Yi. I know, Yi. But Sojmanga makes me thirsty. Sojito, dude, says Uno. You can't get anything right. That's not true. I get lots of things right, Uno.
Yeah? Like what?
Hey, Case, says April as she comes up behind Casey Marie Jones,
wearing a hat and sunglasses, peeking through a bush.
What are you doing?
Hey, Mom. Nothing. Just watching the kids clean the dojo. Odin broke a glass. Again? Yeah.
Nope. Sensei said we have to fix our own messes,
says Moya, still wearing her headphones.
But, aw, Uno? No way, dude. All right.
What's going on here? Says Casey Marie.
Crybaby Odin broke another glass, says Uno. Sorry, Sensei. Are you really mad?
Says Odin.
No, I'm not mad, but I do want to talk about it. Everybody on me. Lesson time.
I made the table super clean, Grammy April.
I see that. Nice work, kiddo,
says Tiyi.
Come on, Moya. Sensei wants us.
What?
Okay, listen up. I'm gonna tell you all a story that Grammy April once told me, once about my dad and the Ninja Turtles. Master Splinter had sent them all on an important mission to stop the Foot Clan for stealing stuff that didn't belong to them. Like always, Leonardo was in charge, and just when he was gonna give the orders to grab the bad guys, my dad saw something else happening. Some other bad guys getting ready to be mean to a poor lady. We see Casey's face as he looks down, and this woman's getting mugged. This made my dad really mad. He wanted to help the lady. At first, the turtles didn't want to go there with Dad, just because they were supposed to be stopping the Foot Clan like Master Splinter said. My dad didn't listen to them and he went anyway, even though when he knew would mess up their mission against the Foot, the turtles followed. And then they helped my dad stop the other mean guys to save the poor lady, because that was the right thing to do. I think about that story a lot. In the time it helped Grammy stop the city from the flooding, when what I really wanted to do was help Sensei fight the Foot. It just sometimes gets so caught up in what we think we're supposed to be doing, or what we want to be doing, that we ignore what we should be doing. Like helping out our teammates when they're in trouble.
Wow, Grammy. Casey and the Turtles were so cool. Don't you miss them, Grammy April?
I do, Yi. I miss them much. But sometimes, it's just like they're still here, as she looks on to the Turtles.
Master Splinter's Diary, Kevin Eastman Art Style. Finding your purpose, letting your purpose find you. Movement A, with some stick figures. Always purpose seeks purpose, chooses all ways. Master Yip. Back to then, as they crash through the window.
This is not good. What the hell is it? And as bad as my Korean is, it's not too hard to figure out what's being said because I've heard it all before.
I'll tell you what it is.
It's dead,
says the bald man that crashed through the window.
Let me guess. Kill the monster.
This time the Ronin looks on. He's got his goggles on and an aviation sort of old-fashioned head covering, a full trench coat, gloves, and pants. He looks kind of like a pilot.
I'm totally exposed, and I've only got myself to blame. Weeks of hiding in plain sight at this dump without any issues. And then I blow my cover in a petty barroom brawl.
We show that he beat the crap out of everyone in the bar.
Stop that, Miru! Stupid, Mike. Real stupid. Come on, freak!
The man with the glass bottle and the death worm tattoo calls him on.
Let's finish this. So much for quick and quiet. It's been nearly 3 years since the dying old man in that burning village in Hokkaido told me to run away from the psychopath called a death worm and his army of thugs. And 3 years since the ghost of my brother suddenly showed up out of nowhere telling me the same thing. So what's it gonna be, Chucklehead? You just gonna sit there crying like a baby, or you're gonna do what the old man told you and get moving? Yeah, I know. Crazy. Or maybe I just took too many knocks to my skull. Whatever it was, insanity or a concussion, wasn't stupid enough to believe that I was in any shape to take on another fight right then. So with no real plan other than getting the hell out of Dodge, I started heading south towards the Japanese mainland, with only one thought helping me ease my guilt for running away. To live to fight another day. Little did I know, another day would turn into days, then months, and then years of running. At first, I kept to the woods and the forest as much as possible, foraging for mushrooms and wild plants to survive. My brother Donatello told me what was safe to eat and what was poisonous. He called it a sansi, the ancient practice of plant picking. Or maybe I just knew what to pick and what to eat after years I'd spent surviving in the mountains. We show him with a ghost of Donatello showing him what to pick that's safe to eat. And then, at a campfire, we could see the three brothers laughing on the other side and talking with smiles on their faces as he sits lonely on the other side across the campfire. The constant jabbering of my dead companions was making it hard to separate the past from the present, reality from delusion, and whether it was crazy or concussed, it didn't seem like they were in any hurry to go away. And lonely as I wasn't ready to let them go either, as they all raised cups of tea. I eventually made it to the southern edge of Hokkaido. Behind me were 3 years of isolation, piles of dead bodies, and a psycho and his thug army most likely after my head. Ahead of me was the Sea of Japan, and beyond that, the mainland, and beyond that, a dark reckoning. So without looking back, I just started swimming. Once I got to the mainland, I continued south, using the western coastline as my compass. I slept during the day and hiked at night, keeping a low profile and staying out of sight. It was a long, slow trek, and I still wasn't exactly sure where I was going, much to the frustration of my traveling partners. Shows them behind him, just Raph's hands are up in the air. They started nagging me constantly about not having any kind of plan, doing everything that I could to push my buttons, and I was way too tired to argue. By the time I reached the Monument of Remembrance in Akita, they'd finally had enough.
Sun setting, you know what that means.
Yeah, another stinking night of pointless walking.
Doesn't have to be pointless. There's been no sign of Deathworm or his goons since we left Hokkaido. We've either lost them, or they don't care about us anymore. So if we're not running from them, what exactly are we doing, Mike?
Wait, did you just say we? We aren't doing anything, Leo. I'm getting ready to head farther south as soon as the sun's all the way down. You three are dead. So what's this got to do with you hiking your sorry butt all the way down Japan like a chicken with its head cut off? It's got everything to do, Raph. Everything. I'm here because you couldn't keep your sai in your pants when Karai ambushed us way back when. I'm here because you started a war that killed everyone I care about, everyone that ever mattered to me, including you, you stupid jerk. Yeah, well, maybe I did make a mistake after that ambush.
No maybes about it, Raph.
Whatever, Don. And maybe that mistake started things rolling downhill for us, but that was all we knew it was, coming one way or another against the Foot Clan. Just like Master Splinter always said, it was eventually going to be the last man standing no matter what.
Or last mutant standing, says Leo. You're right, Mikey. We are dead, but you're not. Neither is
Hiroto.
Yeah. He's the last of his family, you're the last of yours, which means you're the only one of us left that can finish what Raph started when we went after Karai.
Hey, come on, guys, give me a break. Karai started it when she broke the stinking truce. No,
We all know it started way before your fight with Karai, before the truce, before any of us were even born. It started with Father and Shredder, and it ends now with Hiroto and me.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying I know where I'm going now. Maybe deep down I always knew. New York City, to stand or fall. Now you're talking, am I? It's getting harder to tell. So when I finally had a plan. Vengeance for my family awaited me in New York City in the form of Oroko Hiroto, current master of the Foot Clan, grandson and last living heir to Oroko Saki, the Shredder, and son to Oroko Karai. As for my brothers, it was business as usual. Talk, talk, talk. Raph moaning and groaning about the hike. Donnie proposing we jump aboard a train on the nearby tracks. Leo reminding me on how rusty my fighting skills had begun and suggesting we make a stop at a secret Hamato clan elite training camp on the island of Chumbura, where my father had written about in his journal. Yep, business as usual. So that night, with Raph's constant complaints, Donnie's solution, and Leo's destination in mind, I hopped on another southbound train to the Amano River. Next stop? Sakaminato. Once I made it to the port city, I covertly watched as passengers boarded a cruise ferry around for Russia via Korea. And when the time was right, I boarded too. Nearly a year of sleeping only in daytime, I was wide awake all night and figured out I'd head to the main deck and get some peace and quiet before the other passengers woke up. Beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, it is, he says to Leo. I should have known better.
Who the hell you talking to, huh?
Crap. You see more deathworm people.
Hey, look, my friend, I asked you a question. Whoa, what do we got here?
He pulls his hat off. Two deathworm punks.
Ain't that the green freak the boss has been looking for? How many green freaks you think there are? Dunno, we'll just have to take that ugly head to Korea with us in a box, as he smashes a glass bottle.
Okay, boss will love the gift if we're right. Yeah, might even give us promotions, says the two toughs as they swipe at him with a knife. The tattoo on the drunk idiot's chest wasn't just a handy bullseye. It lets me know who their boss was, too. Deathworm. He takes the other one with the glass bottle out with an elbow strike, and then he drives the bottle directly into his throat. I thought I'd put the mess in Hokkaido behind me. Guess not. I already planned to take a watery detour before the boat got to Korea, so there was no point in delaying the inevitable any longer. Talk about stomping some cockroaches.
Yeah, and whenever you see cockroaches, there's bound to be more.
And I wasn't about to wait around to find out where there were more of the Deathworm's thugs on the ship. So much for peace. As Ronan dives into the water with his bags and his weapons. So much for quiet. The swim to Chiribuma Island was harder than I expected it was. It was a miracle I didn't drown. I don't even remember the last part, exhausted and delirious as I was. He pulls up on the shore. Gets tapped by a stick. I never forgot the first thing I saw when I finally came.
What have we here, Nori? Such an unexpected prize the tide has sent our way. I should have brought a bigger net, eh?
Says an old man who has a Shiba Inu dog, and he's sitting there looking at Michelangelo as he looks up. He's got a fishing net and a fishing pole.
Wake up, Turtle Man, or your soup will become cold.
Where am I?
Generally speaking, you are on Chiribumja Island, specifically in my guest hut.
Woof, says the dog. This fine lady is Nori. My chunin and a very good dog. I am Master Yip of the Hamato clan, the elite sensei you seek.
What? You?
No offense, you're speaking Japanese, but you're a Chinese man?
I am, and you are a turtle man. Clan Hamato is wonderfully diverse, if not. I will be outside when you're ready, Michelangelo, to begin your training. We've much to do, and you and I and Nori, of course.
Woof! Hold on, you speak English too? And you know my name? And you know why I'm here?
Yes. You've been in and out of consciousness for nearly 2 days, my young friend, mumbling and moaning all the way. That's how I learned what you are called and what you seek. Now please, finish your soup. You must be famished.
What does one call soup for a turtle, Nori?
Woof! Ah, yes. Turtle soup.
It wasn't the last bad joke I'd get to hear from this old master. What came next, though, was no joke. After a few days of soup and rest, I finally had the strength to step out of the hut, where the old master and his chunin were waiting for me to work.
Ah, good to see you up and about, son of Splinter. Now your training can begin.
Woof! The dog holds a bucket, and he hands him a rag.
So Jito was the way of cleaning. The tradition of students cleaning the dojo together is a sign of respect to the way of giving thanks to your sensei. And since the Master Yip considered the entire camp his dojo, and since I was his only student...
You know, when you said you were going to wipe the Foot Clan off the face of the earth, this ain't what I thought you meant, says Raph, making a sly joke.
Me either, says Leo. You missed the spot, Daniel-san.
I got very familiar with this tradition.
Turns out the cleaning was just getting started.
Shut up, you guys.
Master Yip also wanted to cleanse me of old habits and old crutches, which meant weapons weren't part of the early training.
How can you master what you hold in your hands if you don't first master your hands?
We started with the basic form of Wing Chun, which he called Su Tim Nao.
Or in English you would say, a little idea for beginning.
Except I'm American.
Which would explain why you're talking instead of listening, eh? Less yapping, more yipping.
As our training continued, I began to question the softness of the forms Master had explained in the hand-to-hand techniques, as if we constantly practiced held many of the same benefits of Sojito.
Both traditions slow you down, center you in the present, to better focus on your breathing and technique and the task at hand. Ahem. Jesting aside, do not mistake softness,
as he pops him in the face,
whack,
for weakness.
I didn't question him again.
Eventually, we moved on to weapons training.
But Jam Do, excellent footwork, is crucial to success, as is the sober understanding that, like all weapons, the blades you hold in your hands are intended for deadly purposes. They are the Dit Ming Dao, life-taking knives, as the English say. Yes, you Americans, too.
Days turned into months. Training became routine and never mundane. It was the lessons that I was learning daily for yearning for more. And I grew to understand why my father had written so highly of the Master Yip in his journal. He really was an elite sensei. He even taught me about a thing or two about puns.
What did Buddha say to the hot dog vendor? Make me one with everything.
For more than a year and a half, I was always busy. Thanks for the Sojito assist, Nori.
Woof!
And never alone.
Your Ma Rin-san form's improving, Mike, says Leo.
Not surprising. He's literally spent hundreds of hours all over that thing.
Yeah, get a room already, dummy.
Whatever. Shut up.
Then my training was complete, and it was time for me to head west, to New York City and Redemption. But Master Yip threw one last curveball at me way before I left.
You have told me of your past. You have told me of your family's tragedy, your self-imposed exile in Japan, and your flight from the one called Death Worm, and your mission of vengeance against the Foot Clan. Now, as you spoke, I only listened, but now I speak. When your father came to me to train with me, he too held a burning desire for revenge against the enemies of your family, and, like you, he made it his life's purpose to see through the quest for vengeance, and so I trained him as I've trained you. And I trained all my students, in solitude, in quiet, sharing the techniques that instill self-control and inner contemplation over outward, unrestrained violence. To first win the battle, you must wage within yourself before embarking on a bloody vendetta against others. And now, even more so, your father, you have been victorious in this. And now, the time to seek justice for those you have lost has come. I would not deny you your quest, but I will present to you a question before you depart. Can you honorably rush to face one enemy when you fearfully retreat from another?
Deathworm.
Yes, Deathworm. He must be confronted. You know this in your heart.
As I rode away, Master Yip's words burned inside my brain. It was more like a challenge than a question. Take down Deathworm first, then go after Oroko Hiroto. Don't pass go, don't collect $200. I'd have prepared another bad pun.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Seriously, Raph? Shut up,
as they hit rough water and stuff comes flying out of his boat. It was nighttime when I finally reached Donghai Sea in Korea. Correction, the Unified Korean Republic. I learned some important things over the next few days. First, it was cold as a mother, and I stuck out like a sore thumb, which means I desperately needed new clothes. I hated stealing, but I didn't want to get spotted, and I just sure as hell didn't want to freeze to death. We see him stealing his coat and his goggles and his aviation's helmet. Second, from what I could figure out from the newspapers, there'd been a massive earthquake in China while I was holed up in Hokkaido, like a 9.6 magnitude massive. The destruction took out a lot of China's nuclear facilities, turning most of the country into an irradiated wasteland. The Chinese government pretty much collapsed overnight, and the control that they had over other nations was lost, starting with North Korea. Unification with South Korea quickly followed. But maybe the most important thing I learned was that Death Worm's army had been causing all kinds of problems and up and down the newly united country all over the last year. According to the papers, he was last seen in the former DMZ.
Man, do you realize how destructive a 9.6 magnitude quake is?
No, but I bet you're gonna tell us, nerd.
He sits in the back of a dump truck with his brothers.
So that's where I headed. Town 38.
The town was named after the 38th parallel, and it seemed stuck in a schizophrenic limbo, somewhere between its Cold War past and the unified present. It was like a well-lit slum, shiny, new, and old and filthy all at once. It was hard to tell where the crime stopped and where the law started. As we look on, there's someone being beat by the police in riot gear. But it wasn't hard to see why it was called the Wild West of the East. Finding Death Worm here wasn't going to be easy. More like a crooked needle in a vice-infested haystack. But at least I could blend in while I searched. Everyone minded their own damn business in Town 38, which meant finding Death Worm just wasn't hard. It was impossible. As he shows someone the picture, and they move on, not interested in speaking with him. Either nobody knew where he was, or they weren't about to tell me if they did. I searched high and low, but nothing. I slept in alleys and ate from dumpsters, and it was after weeks of failure I had had enough. Death Worm was more of a ghost than my brothers, and if I didn't get some real food in me, I was going to be one too. So I sold half of my warrior soul for a few cold bucks. You see in the pawn shop he's selling off his weapons, his nunchucks. To buy a hot meal from a warm place where I thought I could sit. In the pool hall, where he's eating soup. To think about what the hell I was going to do next.
You made an oath to Master Yip. To beat the Death Worm before you go after Oroko Hiroto. You're honor-bound, Mike, says Leo.
I disagree, Leo. I don't remember Mikey taking any official pledge. Seemed more like Master Yip was making a suggestion to me.
Shh. Well, I suggest we pick one of them for a beatdown, and then we get to it, we...
Shh. Quiet, Ralph. Death Worm. He sees the bald man with the arm tattoo.
Yes. Death Worm must be confronted. In your heart, you know this.
Goes back to Master Yip.
I know.
As he puts on his mask.
Nice tattoo. So tell me, where's Death Worm?
Death Worm? What's that? Says one of the guys.
Sounds like something you get from eating a bad dokji.
Who's asking?
A green freak as he takes off his mask.
You!
Says the man. Quickly swipes at him with a pool cue, which he blocks. Takes out of his hand and then hits him upside the face, knocking him down.
I needed to take down four idiots quickly. Quietly. I wanted answers, not attention.
Unfortunately, my new friends weren't cooperating. Another man pulls a gun and tries to shoot at him, and he gets taken down quickly with the other side of the pool cue. And then, with a hit to the back of the head, the other one hits the bar.
Bastard!
Says the bald man, running towards him with a smashed bottle.
Which brings us to now. So much for quick and quiet.
Back in the street, where he's attacking him with the bottle.
But I still need answers. And if this punk doesn't want to help me the easy way, then that's going to be the hard way Master Yip taught me, and that'll work just fine.
He grabs him by the arm and gets the bottle out of his hand and holds it up to his throat.
Okay, pal, either you're going to give me some intel or I'll take out your eyes. Where's Death Worm?
Mongolia.
Good boy.
And he knocks him unconscious.
And goodbye.
So that's it. Grab your gear, borrow an old wreck, and head out to north to Mongolia without a plan, says Leo.
But there is a plan. Find Death Worm, take him down, and then go after Hiroto. You said it yourself, Leo. I took an oath with Master Yip. I'm honor-bound.
Yeah, Leo, quit complaining. That DMZ dumpster life was getting old.
I'd still argue that no oath was officially ever taken, but whatever. All semantics aside, we just hope you just make it there in one piece. Because we all know Mikey sucks at driving.
As he takes off down the road in his stolen car. To be continued. And that's the end of issue 2.
It's pizza time.
And now, in a segment that we call Pizza Time, where we discuss any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or pizza-related food, I give you Pizza Time.
And now, your pizza recipe for the day. Grilled pizza with eggplant and artichokes. Active 45 minutes, for a total of about 45 minutes, serves 4 people. Ingredients. 3 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, plus more for brushing, 2 cloves garlic, smashed, 1 28-ounce can whole peeled tomatoes, crushed by hand, 1 sprig of basil, plus torn basil leaves for topping, 1 pinch of sugar, kosher salt, and freshly ground pepper, 1 small eggplant cut into 1/4 or 1/2 inch thick rounds, 1 6-ounce jar of marinated artichoke hearts, drained, all-purpose flour for dusting, 1-pound pizza dough at room temperature, and 8 ounces of mozzarella cheese sliced. Step 1. Preheat the grill to a medium-low or medium heat on the side. Brush the grill grates with olive oil. Step 2. Make the sauce. Heat 2 tablespoons olive oil and the garlic in a saucepan over medium-high heat until sizzling. Add the tomatoes, basil, sprig, and sugar. Season with salt and pepper. Simmer, stirring until thickened. 15 to 20 minutes. Discard the basil and the garlic. Step 3. Meanwhile, brush the eggplant with olive oil and season over with salt and pepper. Grill the artichoke hearts and the eggplant over medium-high heat, flipping until the artichokes are lightly charred and the eggplant is tender, about 2 to 3 minutes for the artichokes and 8 to 10 for the eggplant. Step 4. Dust a large piece of parchment paper with flour, then dust the pizza dough with flour. Roll it onto the dough, onto the parchment, and into a rustic 10 by 14 inch oval or rectangle, about 1/8 inch thick. Drizzle over the dough with the remaining 1 tablespoon of olive oil and rub all over. Step 5. Lift the parchment and flip the dough onto the grill over medium to low heat. Immediately remove the parchment. Grill, rotating the dough halfway, though, if needed, until slightly puffed on top and marked on the bottom, 3 to 5 minutes. Step 6. Remove the dough using tongs and flip onto a cutting board. Cook side up. Top with the tomato sauce, mozzarella, and grilled vegetables. Slide the pizza back onto the grill. Cover and cook, rotating the pizza as needed until the crust is well marked and the cheese is melted, about 3 to 5 minutes. Remove the cutting board and top with torn basil. And that's your pizza for today, grilled pizza with eggplant and artichokes.
Cowabunga, dudes!
Thank you for listening to the Epic Tales from the Sewers podcast. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were created by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. This podcast has no affiliation with Eastman, Laird, Mirage Studios, IDW Studios, Archie Comics, or Nickelodeon Studios. This podcast is a member of the Dorkening Podcast Network. Check out thedorkening.com for other podcasts. Epic Tales from the Sewers is recorded by Justin Cooper and Eric Will.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
It took me 10 years to make the perfect man cave.
And then we took it over. And we made it into the multiversal chamber.
Then I started my own podcast.
And we took that over too.
And we're the co-hosts, the Multiverse Kids.
Yeah, and I'm the dad, the geeky dad. And every week, we what?
We review the movies, shows, and books. Games and toys.
Yeah, and sometimes we even have a special guest. So, join us every week on the Geeky Dad Podcast.
Greetings and shabibins. We are the Retro Reductibus Cephala Podcast, a long-form bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know what all those words mean.
I think what Parasite seems trying to say is that on Retro Reductibus, we explore a range of retro goodness, from toys, video games, and movies, to cartoons, and even snacks and school lunches.
Oh. And we do it all with a positive spin, a slew of killer guests, and some very adult language.
And you know what else is cool?
No.
This crazy show is part of the Dorking Podcast Network with new episodes every Tentacle Tuesday.
What's that?
And if waiting 2 weeks for a new episode gives you a sad, know that we drop bonus episodes all the time, like the off-format Crow's Nest and an interview series we call The Brick.
You can listen to Retro Redoctopus on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or any app that's cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all the things that make growing up awesome.
Hello, intrepid listeners. This is the Generation Playlist Podcast, a podcast about music where we are your guides through a particular group or artist.
We talk about the music, and then we make a customized playlist to share with you, our listeners. And you can check us out wherever you listen to podcasts and find our playlists on Spotify.